You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, welcome everybody to the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, August 24th, coming to you live from our flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network. And as always, simulcasting online to a global audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org. This show is going to be one that you'll probably remember for a couple of reasons. Now, the least of which is that during the second hour of tonight's show, we're going to welcome for the first time to our broadcast Colin Flaherty of WorldNet Daily fame. His book, White Girl Bleed a Lot, it's a bestseller. It's gone all the way up to number one on Amazon.com. And I talked with Colin on the phone this week, and we're both excited about this show. We're going to be talking about his work and, of course, the aforementioned book. But first, this Sydney Leathers is, of course, the young woman at the heart of the Anthony Weiner sexting scandal. And motivated by this woman. Sorry for the technical difficulties there. Because of where it falls in line in the overall scheme of the culture war. I mean, political sex scandals are a dime a dozen. But what was so fascinating to me about this story was that never before has the woman at the midst of a sex scandal like this been able to be welcomed to such celebrity as Sydney Leathers has. And I watched her on the Howard Stern show. I watched her on Fox News with Sean Hannity. And I was thinking to myself, and I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, I said, why are they coddling her so much? I mean, isn't this something that should be shamed? You know, this behavior? And so I said, you know, I'd like to have her on, and I'd like to ask her a few questions like that. Now, as you know, there is not a hateful bone in my body. This young woman, I guess politically, certainly we would have nothing in common. I don't know if we have anything in common across the board, but I don't do ambush radio, and I wanted to ask her some questions that even Sean Hannity, who is, you know, positions himself as a Christian conservative spokesman, it seemed as though he was playing footsie with her on Fox News. But I wanted to ask her, you know, is this what she wants to be remembered for? Is this something that she's proud of? And I got those questions in. It wasn't nearly as pointed as I thought it would be because, number one, look, I mean, she's a young woman. I asked the questions, she responded, and I really didn't get back into it. We taped this interview a couple of days ago, by the way, and we're gonna play it here. I didn't want to go on the attack, you know, because then you got the evil James Edwards attacking this young woman who is embracing, you know, feminism, and she's empowering herself by parlaying her 15 minutes of fame into a pornographic career, which, by the way, we taped the interview on Thursday, a day after her XXX feature film was released. And anyway, so I was talking with Sam Bushman, and he's going to join me later this hour to analyze what you're about to hear and provide some depth to it. I give my performance, I guess, in the interview a 2 out of 4 stars. It's not that good. It's not that bad. But it's interesting nevertheless. So I'm going to let you listen to it. We're going to play half of it now and half of it, I guess, in the second segment of this hour. And then we're going to provide you with a critique of it. And again, provide some further details as to why we wanted to have Sydney Leathers on the show. So let's go to the tape right now. All right, everybody. Our featured guest this hour is Sydney Leathers. Sydney, I'd like to welcome you to the program. I have to admit that I've become oddly fascinated with your story over the course of the last couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me.
It's entirely our pleasure. And for the benefit of those who might have been living on another planet over the course of the last month or so, remind my listeners why your name has become national news.
Well, I am pretty much at the heart of the second scandal with Anthony Weiner. This time, he didn't have to resign from Congress, but he was running for mayor and was up in the polls. And then not so much now.
Was actually leading the race, in fact, and poised more than likely to become the next governor, or excuse me, the next governor. That maybe that was in a few years later, but the next mayor of New York City. So give us your background. Again, your initial interaction with Wiener and how it led to where we are today.
My initial interactions with him were actually on Facebook. I know his first scandal was on Twitter, so a lot of people assume that it was Twitter, but it wasn't. It was Facebook. And I had reached out to him in 2011 regarding the first scandal, kind of chastising his behavior and kind of poking fun at him a little and saying I was disappointed. And then about 9 months later, out of nowhere, he poked me on Facebook, sent me a friend request, and started to flirt with me.
And you had a problem with his behavior. And this is the question. I've been watching some of your interviews, Howard Stern, Sean Hannity, and some of the others. And there's some questions that I don't believe have been asked here. So you initially had a problem with his behavior, and I can understand that. But then you allowed yourself to become a participant in the very same sort of sexual actions that you originally criticized former Congressman Wiener for. And I know you called him a hero of yours in the past. So was your involvement with him a case of being starstruck or just the thrill of it all? Or how did it go from you being...
Both. Honestly, it was a little of both. As I have said many, many times, I kind of held him on this pedestal. So when the first scandal happened, even though I wasn't involved, it was this weird thing where I was like embarrassed for him. It was just disappointing and awful to see. It was like a train wreck and it was all over the news. And I don't know, it was just unfortunate. So it is very bizarre that I felt that way and then got sucked into this other situation. But I think the fact that I held him on that pedestal made it easy for me to get sucked into that situation.
Well, do you see hypocrisy in play, though, when you criticize him for sexting with other women and then allow yourself to engage in the same exact actions with the same exact man?
No, I don't think I'm a hypocrite. I think I was just a 22-year-old girl who, as I've said, held a man on a pedestal and got sucked into a really weird, bizarre situation. And I totally acknowledge my fault in it. I don't try to play the victim. But I do acknowledge that it's a weird situation and that, you know, I knew he was married.
Well, it's certainly not a situation that most 22 or 23-year-olds can relate to. I'll give you that. But what made, going back to him being a hero of yours, what made you decide to come forward after Wiener was the front runner to become the next mayor of New York and divulge the details of your sexting affair with him? Because I think, you do realize that you probably single-handedly prevented him from becoming elected. Is that something, and I think Hannity asked you about this, is that something you're happy about?
It's not something I like rejoice in every day of my life. It's actually kind of strange to me. I don't know. It seems like maybe that's a little too much power to give me. I don't know. I don't want to get a big ego about it. But I will say that, I feel like my conscience kind of ate away at me, and he had kind of spooked me a little. He had messaged me as recently as this April.
Right.
He had said that his brother had emailed him asking about me, and I had no idea he had a brother, let alone that the brother knew who I was.
All right, folks, we're going to pause right there, and we're going to play the remainder of my talk with Sidney Leathers, which was taped on Thursday for broadcast during tonight's live show of the Political Cesspool radio program, after this, our first commercial break of the evening. Stay tuned, everybody. The Political Cesspool returns on the Liberty News Radio Network right after these words.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we're going to dive right back in to the remainder of my discussion, which was taped earlier this week with Sydney Leathers for broadcast on tonight's edition of the Political Cesspool radio program. And then for the remainder of the first hour, before we get to Colin Flaherty in the second and then Keith Alexander in the third, Sam Bushman is going to join me, and we're going to break down the Sydney Leathers, Anthony Weiner incident and provide you with depth and analysis to further complement the interview with her itself. So let's go back to the tape. Because I think, you know, you do realize that you probably single-handedly prevented him from becoming elected. Is that something, and I think Hannity asked you about this, is that something you're happy about?
You know, it's not something I, like, rejoice in every day of my life. It's actually kind of strange to me. I don't feel like, I don't know, it seems like maybe that's a little too much power to give me. I don't know. I don't want to think that, I don't want to get a big ego about it. But I will say that, you know, I feel like my conscience kind of ate away at me, and he had kind of spooked me a little. He had messaged me as recently as this April.
Right.
He had said that his brother had emailed him asking about me, and I had no idea he had a brother, let alone that the brother knew who I was. So when that happened, I got really freaked out, and I knew, you know, as time was progressing that he was doing very well in the polls. Obviously, as he said, he was number one. So I was seeing these things happen, and an article came out in April in the New York Times where he talked about his marriage and the campaign and all of these things. And, you know, it showed me that he was the type of person that was going to say, I got help after the first scandal. I'm a changed man. You know, he was trying to play that card, and it was clear to me that that is not true. So I kind of felt like it was important for me to say something, especially with him doing so well in the polls.
Well, I can understand that. So would you say it was the immorality of his lying that led you to come forward?
Yeah, I think that honestly is what bothered me the most. And it's this bizarre situation with his wife because I feel badly for her. But on the other hand, it's this repeated pattern of behavior with him. So it makes you wonder if maybe she allows it, you know?
Well, apparently she does, at least to an extent. And I'll agree with you that lying is certainly not a good thing. I mean, let's make no mistake about that. So I can understand you coming forward for that, even though he was a hero of yours. But here's the thing, Sydney, and don't get me wrong here. I believe we're all children of God. I'm far from perfect. I'm not even good. But a lot of people look at this and think that you've taken the opportunity that this scandal has provided to make the rounds, make a name for yourself. And I know you've been on with Howard Stern and a lot of the others. And in some ways, I don't blame you for taking a bow in the spotlight because it is awfully tempting. But you talked about your problem with Wiener being the immorality of his lying. Going on as you have done yesterday, and that was big news yesterday, you've gone on to make the full-fledged pornographic videos. Do you not find that to be immoral as well?
You know, I don't like to, you know, I don't want to call myself immoral because I did something that I enjoyed. I don't find myself to be a bad person just because I did one thing. I'm not going to be a porn star. I did one video and a photo shoot, and that's all that I'm ever going to do. You know, as far as you asking about, you know, the interviews and all of that, my whole answer to that is I could have either hid my head in the sand and cried about it for a year and not spoken to anyone and just basically been embarrassed and ashamed, or I could have owned it, which is what I've been trying to do, and kind of telling my story, and maybe this will serve to some other young girl's benefit in the future and will not get herself in a similar situation, won't get involved with a married man, or won't send naked pictures, or won't get herself in that kind of situation.
Well, there is an example to be set there in coming forward and setting the decks clean, but does it set an example for young women for you to do? And I know you told Hannity that you weren't going to do the hardcore porn, and that's something that you've done now. And so in the course of a week, you've changed your mind on that, right?
I think I told him that I was keeping all of my options on the table is what I told him. And I just said in a previous interview earlier today, I don't want to encourage any young woman to engage in any overtly sexual behavior. I mean, obviously, I'm in my 20s, so that's different, I feel like, but I don't want teenage girls to be making mistakes, and, you know, I'm not encouraging any young women to make foolish choices by any means.
But well, maybe not intentionally.
It's not my place to judge their lives either.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know we're getting short on time. What do you feel your future holds? Where do you see Sydney Leathers in 5 years, 10 years down the road?
You know, that's a good question. I appreciate you asking that. I want to be clear that I'm not just a sexual person. There are many other aspects to me. So there's a lot that I would like to do. I love animals a lot. I would love to be involved in some sort of charity as far as that goes. And then as far as career path, I would really love to be involved in radio. I actually did a thing for many years with the Radio Information Service, reading for blind and handicapped people. So, I mean, who knows what could happen? Maybe I'll get my own radio show.
Well, you've certainly got a knack for the media. I want to tell you about one person that I recently interviewed in radio, and I'd like for you to check out her story. Her name's Kylie Basuti. She was a former Victoria's Secret model who, like you, I think, was drawn in by the celebrity and status of that sort of a lifestyle. She got out of it. She felt that it victimized her and exploited her and has now become a positive role model for young women. Check out her story. I know you're a self-described progressive, and it's trendy and fashionable to advocate feminism and doing all of these things that you believe empowers women. But the thing is, Sydney, I don't think I've ever met a happy feminist, and I hope that one day you may be open-minded.
I think that's really wrong to say. I am a feminist, and I am happy.
I know you are.
You've met your first.
Well, I know. Well, we'll... Down the road, I want you to be open-minded enough to entertain the notion that some of the choices you're making may be wrong. I just want to ask you, is this what you want your legacy?
I don't think that's a fair judgment for you to make, but that's okay.
Well, I appreciate you being open-minded enough to say that, but do you really want this to be your legacy? Is this what you want to be remembered for?
No, and I just said that, you know, there are many other sides to me, so I don't ever want anyone to think this is all of me. It's because it's really not.
Sydney, I really do wish you well. I want that to be known. This is a conservative radio program, and I appreciate you coming on and being a good sport. I certainly have some differences with you in terms of political ideology and other things.
Well, I appreciate that we can have a meeting of the minds and be civil, and, you know, obviously we're on opposite sides of the fence, but, you know, I found it really funny. Actually, people on the right have been much nicer to me than people on the left as far as this goes.
Hey, if you can handle Hannity, you can come on and talk to James Edwards, and I appreciate
Hannity's
you coming on and answering
nice man.
a few questions. Yep. for sure. But I wanted to make it a point to treat you with respect. And I certainly, I didn't expect you to do an about face on the radio and agree with me. But, but you know, I truly mean this, Sydney. I wish you the best of luck. Thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And like I said, hey, if we can get along, so can Congress, right?
We'll see. Don't hold your breath. Thanks a lot.
I'm not. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, in the next segment, we're going to bring on my good friend and yours, Sam Bushman, legendary talk radio host of the Liberty Roundtable Show, and we're going to break down that interview. I want to be clear on one thing. There was a little crosstalk at the end of that taping, and when she made the nice guy comment, I agreed with her thinking she was talking about me, but I forgot she was talking, in hearing the tape playback, she was talking about Sean Hannity, so certainly I can't agree with that. I think Hannity obviously is a Republican hack and a pompous, self-righteous nitwit. But the thing about the happy feminist, too, I believe that she thinks that now. I believe that she thinks she's truly happy right now. She says she's the happy feminist, and she's the first one that I've ever met. She's 23. She's reveling in celebrity right now. She's raked in six figures in the last month from her videos and appearances and so on and so forth. So I think right now she may truly believe that she's happy. But feminism, the radical egalitarian version of feminism, is very unhealthy for women, including Sydney Leathers. And I think 40 years down the road, when she's old and her youth and looks have faded, and she's alone and childless and left with nothing but a crackpot ideology to keep her warm at night, I think that she's going to agree with me. And she may be agreeing with me now, because as it turned out, just hours after I taped that interview, news reports suggested that she may have become exposed to the HIV virus. We're going to talk about that more right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, Colin Flaherty coming up in the second hour. We got a busy show still forthcoming, but now we're going to talk a little bit more about the interview you just heard that I conducted with Sidney Leathers of Wienergate fame. And, you know, I wanted to show people, certainly not my peers in the media, who are never going to give me a fair assessment. They're always going to call me this, that, and the other, which is completely inapplicable. But I wanted to show, I guess, curious observers who may be tuning in tonight to hear that interview that, you know, we can talk to people with whom we have profound disagreement and still be civil. You know, we're not going to engage in the baseless name-calling that other people subject me and Keith and others associated with this show to. And also, you know, this is a woman who, whether we like it or not, and whether she deserves it or not, is very much in the news right now. The media has made her into a minor celebrity, a D-list celebrity. But she's going on all the shows with the big boys, Howard Stern, Sean Hannity, many others, and now the political cesspool, because we are a big boy radio show on AM radio and syndicated just like the others. And so she decided to make a stop with us. I was talking before the break about that she may have been exposed to the HIV. The jury is still out, but I know that a couple of hours after we taped that interview on Thursday, she did go and buy a test, an over-the-counter test at a CVS pharmacy to see. So at least there is concern there. And the story is the actor, the male actor with whom she appeared in her adult film, if you will, filmed his last scene, the movie prior to the one with Sidney, a couple of days before with an actress who has indeed tested positive for HIV. So this guy was with her. She tested positive for HIV, and his next partner in his next movie was Sidney. Her tests have come back negative, but doctors will tell you that it takes 2 to 8 weeks before you can get a truly accurate reading. You can get a false negative, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, in the first 2 to 8 weeks after being exposed potentially to the HIV virus. And listen, let me tell you, I certainly hope she doesn't have it. I don't wish that disease on anyone. And so I hope she doesn't have it, and I hope that she'll make right decisions, at least decisions that I deem to be right. And I think that most decent people would need to be right going forward. But anyway, after listening to that interview in playback, I feel a little bit better about it than I did after I first taped it. I'd intended to be polite and be courteous, as always, but maybe be a little more pointed in the line of questioning. Sam Bushman and I talked about it for about an hour after the taping on Thursday. And I'm going to let Sam provide you with his thoughts on the interview and the story itself. Sam, it's all over to you, my friend.
Thank you very much, James. I first want to basically say about the possibility of AIDS for Sidney. I agree. Our prayers are that she does not have it. However, you mentioned the extreme feminist lifestyle is not good for women. It's very dangerous for women. It's kind of like the gay and lesbian lifestyle is not good for men or women. The fact is they end up with diseases. They end up with all kinds of gender crises later in life or instabilities because of decisions. They seem conflicted in their lives and in their bodies and in their relationships. They seem to do things with their bodies and, you know, throw caution to the wind when it comes to God's guidelines for morality, etc. And they become very lonely, frustrated, discouraged, angry, confused people. This is just one example, though. She goes out, does this sexting scandal, then is involved in a porn film. Her first experience, all of a sudden now, there's already possible concerns of a potentially deadly and or long protracted lifelong illness kind of a thing as a result. If that doesn't articulate the danger like immediately, In other words, if that doesn't put it in real perspective for her and everybody else, I don't know what will.
Well, Sam, you hit the nail on the head, as you often do, my friend. And, you know, whether or not she has it or not, I guess the jury's still out on, but certainly she's concerned.
But that lifestyle immediately puts her in that possibility danger. And if she continues, you know what, that will be her lot in life.
Well, and again, we don't wish that on anyone. We don't wish things on people with whom we disagree, as those who disagree with us would wish upon us and our families. But
we have the solution, James.
All right, hit me.
The solution is for her to live a monogamous lifestyle, for her to marry a man, for him to take care of her, for her to take care of him, for them to be exclusive in their sexual relationships. In other words, be involved only sexually with who you're legally and lawfully married to. You know, if she lives that lifestyle, the likelihood of her having any of these kind of situations reduces to virtually zero.
Well, you know, but the thing about it is, Sam, she's bought into the ideology that the new state religion of political correctness teaches us, and that is that that is an outdated way of life. That's the kind of thinking that puts women in the kitchen rather than out being able to do great things like star in porn films. But, you know, study after study has proven, and I can testify to both of these things in my personal life. Conservatives do live happier lives. Conservatives do have better sex lives. Both of those things are true. She doesn't believe it. But getting back to the interview itself.
Yeah, she will believe it in time. Anyway, I wanted to make that point, though, because I wanted to speak to you, brought up to her. She may appear to be happy now. I would submit that wickedness or violating the commandments of God never was happiness, never will be. And you mentioned down the road she may change her view on that, and please have an open enough mind to consider that. And I think if you want my opinion, that's the home run point you made in the whole interview that puts you on a moral high ground stability position that, you know what, you'll never lose with that one.
Well, I didn't want to argue with her because, number one, you're not going to win an argument on the radio. No one is going to admit that they may be wrong on the radio, and I mentioned that. And at the same time, you know, listen, I have no problem with her. I mean, I disagree with her, and I disagree with the decision she's making. I think it's a poor example, and I think it's despicable that a society would reward such behavior with money and fame and celebrity. I mean, here we are trying to do our work. We're villainized. People like that are held up on a pedestal as if, oh my goodness, you know, Sidney Leathers, look how great this is. And, you know, even Sean Hannity, Sam, you know, and again, we treated her with respect, but he treated her like a rock star.
He was almost flirting with her.
If anyone hasn't seen that Fox News interview, Sam is again, accurate in his assessment. And I was going to ask
her flirting with her. Now, I would say she was more flirting with him, but he was taking the bait. He wasn't over the line. But he certainly was more than open to involvement with her on a more in-depth level than you would expect from a normal interview. That
well,
is
you
for
see
sure.
All these interviews, and they want to focus on the salacious, the raunchiness of her affair with Wiener and everything she's doing. And I expected Hannity. I mean, you would expect that out of Howard Stern, of course. But with Hannity, I really expected her to kind of do more of what I had intended to do, and which I did to some extent, I guess, and kind of hold her to the fire a little bit. And he didn't do it. And I was going to ask her about her father.
Let me give you this example to make the point. Sean could have treated her like a daughter and kind of said, Sidney,
yep,
shame on you. I can't believe you're doing this stuff. Instead, it was almost like two colleagues flirting.
Well, it was that.
It really was.
And he focused more on the whole aspect of her association with Wiener, as most people have. I wanted to focus at least a significant part of the time on the decisions. Is it a good example? Is it something she's proud of, et cetera? I was going to ask her about her dad. Is her dad proud of this? Because as a father, you know, I can relate on that. And I know what she would have answered, and I didn't get the time to do it because our time with her was limited. She was going to answer because Sean Hannity did ask her this, and her answer was that her dad's a great man. He's supportive of anything and everything she does, which is, as two fathers here, Sam, talking, me and you, you love your daughters unconditionally. You love your children unconditionally, but that does not mean you support every decision they make, including these horrific ones, as I believe she's making. But at the same time, she was very polite. I wasn't going to get into it and come off as mean-spirited. I wanted to make a couple of points, and I did. And again, I do sincerely wish her well.
Well, and we want to pattern our lives after the Savior Jesus Christ, and he separated the sin from the sinner. So when the lady was taken in adultery and they brought her to the Savior and they were going to stone this woman, you know what? He basically said, go thy way, sin no more. In other words, you know what? I'm not going to condemn you as they have, but I'm telling you, the sin's got to stop. And I would hope we would behave that way towards Sydney, as fathers, if you will, and to our own daughters or anyone else. Give them a big hug. Tell them we love them. There's no reason to be mean-spirited or be unkind. We accept them as, you know, sons and daughters of God, as brothers and sisters, if you will. We need to treat them as such, but we have every right to point out the better way. And I say better because it's safer, more stable. The family is ordained of God. So to point out a better, more safe way, a more congruent way, a more honorable way to live. And I think hopefully we can do that. They want you to believe we can't separate the sin from the sinner. But I submit to you the example is from the Savior that we can and we should.
Well, I wish, you know, Sam, you and I had talked at length before and after the interview about how we were going to handle this. Because, again,
now, when we come back, I want to get into my, you might call them conspiracy theories about Sydney a little bit.
All right. I know where you're going with this. All right, we got to take a break. But, yeah, I know where you're going with this. I want to get into that. And I'll finish the thought I was about to make before the music started when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello in Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One more time, I want to say,
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. We're going to shift gears, of course, in the second hour. Keith Alexander has just arrived here at our studio this evening, and he'll be riding shotgun with me for the second and third. Colin Flaherty will be our guest during the second hour, and then in the third hour, Keith and I are going to tackle a variety of news stories that have appeared on our website. But first, we're going to wrap up the, I guess, sole focus of the first hour, which has been the Sidney Leathers Anthony Weiner scandal, the news it's been making, what role this plays in the ongoing culture war in America, and other facets related to it. I was happy about the interview in so much as, again, she is making the rounds with all of the top tier shows, and she chose, and I know some radio shows have not been able to get her, and we were. So we will take that for what it is. But there was one more thing about her that Sam and I talked about after the interview, which to us stood out, and that was her poise. Sam Bushman has been in media for decades. He is one of the top 250 ranked talk show hosts in the country. I've been doing this for 9 years with the Political Cesspool. I've been on CNN. We have commanded national news time and time again. I don't even know if I am as polished as she is in terms of being able to answer questions on the fly with flawless responses and the perfect pitch in her voice. Sam, you picked up on that as well.
All right. Yeah, I want to start out, and I'm calling this kind of my conspiracy theory section a little bit tongue-in-cheek because I don't have facts for what I'm saying, meaning that I don't have proof of any of this. But the term bimbo eruption comes to mind with her. Somehow this girl wants to chide him for being sexually involved. She feels like it's a fiasco in the media. And then before you know it, she finds herself in the thick of it. Right from the beginning, she's basically ready to take advantage of it. She's incredibly poised on the air. She can basically make friends with and virtually be colleagues with the best of them. Sean Hannity and others, flirtatious as all get out on the radio, poised as could be, has a perfect answer. And I've listened to her answers, and I'm telling you, they're bulletproof in many ways. You cannot attack her, or you look like the fool. It almost reminds me like Alex Jones on Piers Morgan. You know what? I agree with Alex on everything almost. I disagree with Piers Morgan. However, in that interview, you know what? I thought Alex was a blubbering idiot, and I thought that Piers Morgan acted like the gentleman. Now, that isn't the truth of how I feel about the two individuals, but that's how the interview went off. And the same thing's true with Sidney Leathers' answers. They were very, in my opinion, scripted. They were very, it's almost like she was trained in debate for her coming out. Her answers were too perfect. And at times, you saw the real Sidney there for a second where she didn't have an answer. A little bit of pause after James's question. And then she just busts out with a flurry of perfect response, as if somebody pulled up a card.
Yeah, you know, you do realize.
I'm sorry, as if somebody pulled up a card or did something. It's almost too perfect. Listen to this example to make the point.
That you probably single-handedly prevented him from becoming elected. Is that something, and I think Hannity asked you about this, is that something you're happy about?
She doesn't say anything for a minute.
You know, it's not something I, like, rejoice Scrambling. In every day of my life. It's actually kind of strange to me. I don't feel like, kind of pausing. I don't know, it seems like maybe it, that's a little too much power to give me. I don't know. I don't want to think that. I don't want to get a big ego about it. But I will say that, you know, I feel like my conscience kind of ate away at me.
See, now she's ready to rock and roll. So she's kind of, I don't think it was really my whole life. It's not what I do. But I think it gives me, I don't really think I have that much power. I know I'm a feminist and I can use sex to control every man on the planet, but I don't have that much power, do I, James? And by the way, and then before you know it, she's got the conversation turned on to somebody else. And before you know it, and you listen to her answers all through the interview, you say, hey, what do you want to do in 5-10 years? Well, I'm not only a sexual person. You know what? I believe in animals. I mean, me and Peter are like best buds. And by the way, I want to be on the radio. Don't you think I'd make a great rate? You ought to give me a talk show. Now, she didn't say that. But again, how are you going to attack the responses that she gives? When you said, do you think you're immoral? I don't want to be immoral for promoting my feminist agenda? What are you talking about? I mean, I'm just a liberated female, and what's wrong with me enjoying sex, James? I mean, are you against me being able to pursue what I feel valuable in my life? Now, she didn't say the things that I'm saying, but her response is, anytime you want to attack that, pretty soon you're against animals, you're against women, you're against, I mean, she even said that her experience in radio is reading for the blind. Now, it may be true, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying, man, you can't attack any of that. And her answers were super canned when she got rocking and rolling. But if there was a question that she wasn't ready for, there was a scramble until something happened. And then, bam, she's in rock and roll mode. I don't know if somebody put up a card, put up a teleprompter. I don't know if somebody whispered in her ear. I don't know, but I'm telling you, I think that there's two sides of Sydney Leathers. There's a little girl confused, and there's the trained, educated, scripted Sydney Leathers that we see.
And it could, of course, Sam, be so simple as she has hired a publicist and she is working with professionals who, in addition to getting her media play, most likely train her to do the best that she can. So it could be that. Could
yes,
be
but that wouldn't explain her being a rock star in the media and virtually a colleague of Sean Hannity. Not a little girl getting scolded by a father figure, but a virtual colleague flirting on stage kind of a thing. It doesn't explain the mainstream press's backing of her, nevertheless.
All that is a valid point, Sam. And I'll tell you, you know, when we do the top 10 list, as we do at the end of every year, it's not necessarily the top 10 moments. I guess it's maybe more the most memorable occurrences of the year that was. When we do that later this year, I think this is inevitably going to be included somewhere in that list because it, number one, is unique in so much as that it's far off of our beaten path. But it is in the news, and we're right in the thick of it now.
I do want to make one more point before we end on this, though.
Yeah.
I will say this. By her polite, cheerful, well-scripted answers, it did not leave a lot of room for attack. It also, though, in my opinion, I really appreciate this appropriate dialogue between all sides of a given debate. I don't agree with her on hardly anything. I don't think she's happy as a feminist. I think she's deceiving herself on that one. Nevertheless, though, there was a decent exchange of ideas for the American people to dig or sink their teeth into, dig into, and decide where they stand on the moral issues of the day, where they stand on if she's an immoral person or if she's whatever. And it was done in a very respectful manner on both sides. And at the end, she said, hey, you know what? The right's treated me more kind than the left. Again, it's those statements of wisdom that surprised me a little bit from her. But at the same time, I would say I appreciate that. I would love to debate and discuss with Al Sharpton, with the neocons Chris Christie, with Martin Luther King Jr., with Barack Obama's preacher, with a lot of these people that are into this, you know, black. I'd like to talk to the Black Panthers. I'd like to have a peaceful dialogue with just about everybody, whether we agree or disagree. The problem is, in most cases, that's not possible. And to Sydney Leather's credit, with her, that was entirely possible. In fact, it was done.
Yeah, and she has my respect for that.
Agreed.
Make no mistake about it. And, you know, and that, again, is what really separates us as a mainstream media venue, Sam, the Political Cesspool and Liberty News Radio, is that we are capable of doing that. Now, we have an agenda here. We have signature issues. And because we are the only game in town for those issues, we very rarely deviate from that discussion. But we did it tonight, and we can, and we can prove, and we have proven, and we had Martin Luther King's niece on earlier this year.
Just imagine if Jesse Jackson could come on and be polite and discuss these issues in a very informed, very polite, bring out your facts, I'll bring out mine, we'll just let the people decide at the end what they think and how they feel about it.
Well, they don't do that. You know, they shout you down, and they've shouted me down. Look at how Sean Hannity treated her versus how he treated Ron Paul, for example. Talk about that.
Nailed it. Exactly my point. And so I think if we can stand as one of the stallions, one of the tall figures standing tall for this appropriate peaceful dialogue, those who say we're a bunch of right-wing extremists armed to the teeth, ready to kill everybody that disagrees with us, we're part of the KKK, skinhead, great, you know, hey, you know what, let the truth, by their fruit shall you know them, let the truth stand for what it is. And we've proven, hey, I don't agree with Sydney on anything. I think she's an immoral lady of the highest order. Nevertheless, she was polite, and I'm going to treat her politely. And I think that's a valid point to be made, and I'd like to see the mainstream press do a little more of that as well.
We're not going to sink to their standards. We are, and of course, we don't have nearly the voice that some of our contemporaries do, say CNN and Fox. But I'll tell you, we have a big voice, and it's growing, and it continues to grow, and we reach a lot of people, and we're doing good work. And just because they treat us that way, we're not going to treat others that way with whom we disagree. And it, you know, for what it's worth, we're not going to change, you know, engaging in decent behavior as we do isn't going to change their opinions of us. But for any curious observer who may be tuning in and has an open mind, we hope that that is something that's impressed upon them.
Politeness and let the chips fall where they may. They tell you that I'm a gun-toting right-wing extremist and an anti-government guy as the owner of Liberty News Radio. That's what the Southern Poverty Law Center says. But I give speeches just like Taco Bell says, think outside the bun. I've been teaching people to think outside the gun for the solutions for America. So see, it's evident at every turn, and that demonstrates the contrast, James.
Well, Sam, I appreciate you coming on, as always. You know, in addition to being our owner and the man that syndicates this show on his network, you are a frequent guest and a dear friend. And I know Keith Alexander, who joined us during the last commercial break here at the studio, is chomping at the bit to say a few words at the top of the next hour.
And I'm looking forward to his take, by the way.
And then we're going to get to Colin Flaherty. So, Sam, thank you again, brother.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be back with the second hour right after this on The Political Cesspool. Stay tuned, everybody.
Another hour of The Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.